Blog Talk Radio.
Afternoon, and welcome to Desperate House Witches in our two-part series. Sis?
You're Dorian Wallace. I'm Raina Starr.
Oh.
Hi.
Again.
Anyway, hi, everybody. Welcome to Saturday Special. So today's Saturday Special, before we get to that, we have to say Desperate House Witches is not a G or PG or R-rated show, so if dirty talk may turn you off, you probably will be offended by something I say in the next hour. But if that doesn't bother you, we're happy to have you. Desperate House Witches is brought to you by the one, the only, the incredible Wicked Witch herself, Dorothy Morrison, at www.wickedwitchstudios.com. I am extremely excited about today's show because I am going to say, I don't know if the guest is in the queue or not.
He is.
But
he is.
He is? All right, you know what?
Yeah.
Let me just lavish this praise upon his head and have him come right on.
Okay. Hello, Devin.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. So today's guest is the incredible modern witch himself, Devin Hunter. And I have to tell you, if Raymond Buckland wrote Big Blue, Devin Hunter has written Big Sexy. This is the most beautiful book about witchcraft I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because I like him, even though I do, but this book is stunning. I want to know, Devin, I mean, was this years in the making? Was this a vision you've had for a long time? This book is to kill for. It's gorgeous.
Well, thank you. It took years. It was the book that I went, when Llewellyn and I initially started having our discussion about me writing for them, this is the book I went to them with, and I said, I want to publish this. This is my idea that I've had, and it was going to be really expensive to make, just from a printing standpoint, because it's full color, and so they were concerned about that, and I was still kind of a nobody. I had a podcast, and I had been doing things, but I hadn't had a book out yet, so they were nervous, you know, as they should have been, because it was a big project, and so they said, all right, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we work on another project? We'll see how we do with that. And if that works, then we'll make this. And that project, the other project turned into a book series and that I wrapped up last year. And so we started working on this in 2018, like officially. Mm-hmm. We started really putting all of the stuff to the grindstone at the beginning of the year, but 2018. And then it was a solid year of pictures and retaking photos and even retaking retakes and, you know, all of that stuff. I did just about all of the photos, so that's all real.
Wow.
And the writing, it was the easy part compared to the other books. Because my other books were twice the size when it comes to the length, the word count.
Huh.
So those were you know, the other thing, too, with those books, they were more like a practical – practice series where, you know, everything evolves from one thing into the other, whereas this was a spell book. And so writing spells is like a thing I love to do. It's my poetry.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy it. And I had, you know, I had this collection of stuff and I had my own theory of how magic works and how spells work. And so I, writing it was the fun part. That was the easy part for me with the whole process. It was the photos and the art and the layout and the cover, that all of that was monumental in task. And so I would say it was harder for me on my end, it was harder to make this book happen than it was the other books, without question. So it was a big deal when you know, they said yes, and let's move forward with this. And you can take all the photos. They didn't make me hire a photographer, which was nice. So I got to do my own art, and that was neat. So it was a big deal, and thank you for loving it. It was a labor of absolute intention and absolute heartfelt just gratitude for my Modern Witch community that I've been able to build up over the past 10 years. The work that I'm trying to just do. So it was, I'm very blessed that this project even could happen. And Llewellyn was really great at moving the pieces around to actually acquiesce to my strange requests to get this coffee table witchcraft spellbook formulary thing done. So I have a lot of gratitude for Llewellyn for that.
And it really is a coffee table book. Now I'm of a certain age, and when I was a kid, you know, we had, because my parents thought they were fancy people, we had these monumentally exquisite books on coffee tables. That's a real thing, kids, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Where in the living room, when you would have company, when people were waiting for other people to show up for a party, you would pick up this beautiful table, and it would have fabulous artwork, and a lot of it was travel books and other beautiful things, or art books, or clothing, you know, pieces of museum clothing, artwork, and all kinds of different things. I'm telling you, this is like that. It's like the big, elegant books your parents collected, only it's for us. Hello. I love it. So for me, this is like the most beautifully put together coffee table book for pagans that I've ever seen. One of the things I really love about what you've done with this is it's not just a spell book. You incorporate a bunch of methodologies, iconography, and some sigil, and colors, and corresponding animals. And, I mean, you really put the work in. I mean, anybody who picks up this book will see this was not simple. This took a lot of work. And I'm really appreciative because you've done the work so we don't have to. It's fantastic.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, the whole basis of the original idea for the book was to do a 13 powers book. And if you're familiar with the Gospel of Aradia, there's these 13 powers that witches were supposed to inherit. Mm-hmm. And the original concept was to go through and do a spell chapter like I did with these, but for all 13 of them. And we really quickly realized that wasn't going to happen just because the amount of space. I mean, it would have been a colossal book. I ended up quickly having to take a step back. And I had been teaching a spell class for 7-8 years now. And with the principle being that, you know, I've been working in a magic shop for on and off, 17 years now. And so now I have my own magic shop and, you know, we're doing work for the public and we have practitioners coming and buying supplies all the time. And so I've been able to kind of watch the trends, we'll say, and it always boils down to people want love magic. They want protection magic. They want healing magic. They want help with divination and money. You know, those are the big things. And so I was like, okay, well, those are the big five. Let's do that. And so let me write a book about that. And that was easy because I had been teaching the class. I had the formulary aspect of it all kind of worked out already. That took years and years and years of like just trial and error and, you know, working with the public and figuring things out. But the idea was, you know, I have as a gay dude, you know, I have a very different relationship to, like love magic, right? So when you look at a love spell, those are almost always written for a heterosexual couple. And I'm a gay polyamorous dude. And so that doesn't work for me at all. And this is something that I see a lot of. Like I have clients who are, they're in the oldest industry in the world, and we talk about what they would need versus what I would need, you know, and they're going to need a very different type of love oil or, you know, whatever. So it was really interesting to take these strange conversations and the strange work that I've done as a professional witch over the years and bring that into a formulary where the real base concept of the book is that you can learn the skeletal system of magic, of spell casting. And then once you have that down and you understand why things work and how they work, then mm-hmm. you can basically do just about anything. And so I covered those five, you know, aspects of those five topics, because those are what people tend to gravitate to the most. But within it, you know, there's everything from how to do, you know, candle spells to jar spells to working with the elements in different ways and pulling, you know, different aspects of your own life into your magic, questioning, mm-hmm. you know, why does this herb do this when for mm-hmm. me it's this other thing? You know, there's a lot of that kind of stuff in there. And so I tried to do two things. I wanted it to be like something that wasn't already out there. That's a big goal of mine as a writer. I don't want to write a book that's already been written and just put my spin on it, you know. So mm-hmm. I wanted it to be different from that perspective. And I wanted there to be, you know, we signed up for these meal prep kit things for a while. And we'd get these boxes of food, and they'd have these gorgeous recipe cards with these step-by-step instructions and photos. And I was like, that's what I need. That's what I want to do. And so I was able to do that kind of stuff. And so, you know, when it comes to like, oh, how do you dress and do a petition paper? Well, you read it in a book. And if you had, you know, for me, you need to see it to understand it, but the instructions get really kind of complicated, just folding it a certain way and turning it and this other stuff. But if I did it in photos, that's a lot easier, you know, that kind of stuff. So I got to do a lot of really fun things, and I got to put spells and workings in there that you don't normally see in a book like this. And then there's photos that go with it. So, you know, you get an in-depth kind of experience with it.
This is kind of like the book we've been waiting for, you know, because, and this is not a cut against anybody else's book at all, but a lot of the books that we get are typically just written word. There's, you know, the viewpoint of the person who's obviously doing the writing. This book, you don't pick up a specific sense of anything about you from a specific standpoint as far as like your sexuality or your political bend or anything else like that. It is 100% relatable, usable by anybody and everybody, and that is something that I look for. And not for nothing, but as a person of limited patience, which I am at this point, I want something that really pulls me in, that really sucks me in from, like, the front page. I want to know going in immediately that I'm going to enjoy it, that I'm going to be excited by it, and that it's really going to surround me with magic. I mean, I read a lot of, you know, current folks that are writing, and while the writing sometimes is good, sometimes it's a little too professorial, sometimes it's a little too simplistic, sometimes I feel like it's missing things. It depends on who it is and what it is. But this is like the book that I would hand somebody if I wanted them to understand why magic can be so exciting. You know what I mean? Because it's very inviting. It's very, the pictures add so much. They really do. And the pictures are beautifully done. And the way the spells are laid out and the reasoning is laid out and, you know, all the different aspects of magic that you've put into it, into each spell, is just incredible. I have never seen anything like this. And I think it's really great. And I hope you're going to do another one like it, you know, for other things. It's you know, it means a lot when you put that much feeling into it. I know a lot of folks who churn out a lot of stuff, and that's great. You know, if you're able to be that prolific in your writing, that's very cool. But something like this is more of a rarity. I wish it were more common, but it's not. But I love that it's here, and I really have to recommend it. My friend Jessica had said to me, tell me, give me the review. Jess, this is the review, baby. Everything I'm saying is why you need to go get yourself a copy of this.
I mean, yes, please do go buy my book. That would be excellent. You know, when I wrote the Witch Power series, the thing I was shocked to find out were that there were people who weren't really reading the very first chapter of the very first book, and where I talk about what the Witch Power is. And so there seems to be this kind of idea of me as an author that I believe we have this elitist blood and, you know, all of this stuff. And I don't believe that at all. That was not what I wrote. And, you know, for me, witchcraft is, you know, look, I grew up poor, like really, we were the fancy people because we had central air conditioning and a toilet in the house, like where I grew up. And so it was, and it's way better there now, like in so many aspects, but it's still very much so an impoverished area. And, you know, I found witchcraft not because I was looking for a goddess or to hug trees or to get right with the universe. I came to witchcraft because I needed to get out of my shitty little town or else I was going to die. Like, that's just the way it felt. And so I learned witchcraft differently than I think a lot of people did. I didn't come to it for the things a lot of people come to witchcraft for. I came for it looking for answers. And what I found was this beautiful, rich history that goes back to the beginning of civilization and in even kind of predates it, of people having, you know, communications with the spirit world, being told how to cast a spell, being told how to fix their problems with magic. And, you know, witchcraft is a tool for everybody. Everybody gets to practice witchcraft. And witchcraft can absolutely level the playing field. And in my mind, that's what, you know, what a lot of people refer to as like the low magic. That's what it's there for. It's there to level the playing field when you live in a world where the odds are stacked against you. And that's 100% what I believe witchcraft is here for. So, you know, for me, all I ever want to see people do is just practice and have a healthy practice where it's enriching their lives in some capacity. The spiritual stuff, the, you know, the devotion and working with deity and all that stuff, that is such a personal thing. That's like that's like talking about what goes on in your bedroom as far as I'm concerned for the most part. Like, you don't need to get into that intimate stuff. That's your business. You're having conversations with that spirit. You're having a relationship with that spirit. I don't need to be part of that. You know, but when it comes to spells and it comes to the beautiful, rich tradition that we have as magic practitioners, there's so much gold there. I mean, there really is. And it doesn't matter what level you're at. It doesn't matter what you need. Magic can really, truly help you get that and achieve that. And so when I wrote this book, I wanted to do that. I wanted to write a book that was going to be interesting to people who'd been around for a while. You know, I've been practicing the craft for a very long time, and I get bored when I look at a book, you know, nowadays for the most part, for a lot of them anyway. And that isn't because the material isn't good or the authors aren't good at what they're doing. It's just as you're going through, you're like, okay, well, let's take this conversation further. Let's do that. And in a spell book, you can't really do that a whole lot, right, because it's a spell book. And so it's not so much about the theory of magic as it is about the doing of the magic. And so I thought, well, how am I going to add to a conversation with that? How am I going to bring people into the book and help them have an experience with it? Because I'm all about having experiences, right? Whether you're reading a book or you're listening to a song or, you know, whatever. There's so many ways to reach people, as you know, from having a podcast. And so how do I reach that experience? And so photos just seemed like the natural choice when it came to how do we enrich this. And there's a book out by an author. It came out, I want to say, in like 2006, 2007, and it's called Enchanted by Titania, just by Titania. She's a UK witchcraft author who was really popular in the 90s. And she had a book, this beautiful, it's like this crushed blue velvet cover, and it's embossed, and it's like, it's this, and it's hardback, and it's just gorgeous, gorgeous book. And one of my ex-boyfriends bought it for me as a gift, and I was like, you know, I'm going through it, and I, oh, whatever. And then I'm looking at these photos that are inside of this book. I'm like, this is gorgeous. This is amazing. And so I've held on to this book all of these years, and the spine's all ripped up and, you know, all this stuff by now. But my only complaint about it was not the magic was awesome, but spells were great, but the photos didn't match what was going on in the book. So there was just this artsy photographer who took a bunch of photos, and then they kind of put them where they would kind of be appropriate, and then, you know, did a color tint on the photo. And so it once I realized that, when I got it home and I'm looking at it, my heart was a little broken. And then I thought, wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be neat if I could make something where the photos were actually of the spell work and the ritual and what is it supposed to look like? Because we read all these spells and it's like, well, what is that actually supposed to look like? What is it actually going to do? Like, what does this mean when you say do this, you know? And so I got to play with that. And it was a really fun thing as a witchcraft teacher. It was super fun to do. And it was a really fun thing as just a creative person to sit down and this, I feel like this was more my pace in a lot of ways. I like being super hyper creative and doing crazy weird things like this. And so this was a big risk, but I think it's paying off. And I do have a follow-up outlined. I have it it's in the steam cooker. It's going. It's just I don't know what's going to happen with it, but it has been theorized and it exists. So we'll see. But for now, you know, this just came out, and it's a lot when a book comes out. And usually, I'm going like right into the next book and writing, and I'm not doing that this time. I'm really just trying to hold this in a high place. And you know, this was so much work, and it was so much fun. And I just hope the world sees it and sees that, you know, sees the work and the fun. Because to me, that's what witchcraft is. It's a lot of hard work, but it's a lot of fun too.
It definitely can be. But I like the fact that you're giving it the respect it's due. I know that may sound like crazy, but I find that most folks want to get right to the next book. And I'm glad you're stopping and just, I mean, you really accomplished something with this book. And I'm really glad that you're stopping and appreciating that and kind of reveling in that moment, because there isn't any, I've not seen anything else like this, and I'm crazy about it. It's the one book that I just want to give to people just so they have it, because there's a whole lot of information, because you didn't go all over the place with 9,000 different spells. I love the fact that you kept to what we would call the most popular shit, as it were. Because that is what people want. People want job security, people want love, you know, protection, the basic stuff. I love what you put in here about getting the correct diagnosis for being sick, because I will tell you, as a person who has had chronic illnesses in my life, getting a correct diagnosis sometimes takes years. And this was when I was younger. So when I saw that, my eyes kind of like popped out of my head, because I was very excited, because once again, I have a medical challenge always. It just seems, maybe at my age, I don't know what it's about, but yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, good to have for when I go back to the doctor. But it's not something I would have necessarily thought of, so I'm glad you did so I didn't have to. But it's really, it's a great book, and you don't have to necessarily be of any specific path. That's another thing that really appeals to me about it. Because sometimes a lot of writers do exclusively for their path. This, I guess, being a teacher, you know a lot more than a lot of folks. So you are able to incorporate a lot of things. But it's really a great book. I would give this book to anyone as a gift. It's really good.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm just a nerd, and this is the thing I nerd out on, and so it's fun to, be creative. And my other thing is my own personal kind of motto is that witchcraft it's a spiritual art form, and so being able to artistically portray it was a really fun thing. And I've been doing photography for a couple of years, and I'm okay at it, and so this was a big challenge. There's crystals. Crystals are notoriously hard to take photos of, and just all kinds of stuff. So there was raising, stepping up to the plate with that. And then I had this amazing layout editor. Her name was Rebecca Zinn, and she's just freaking fantastic. And so she really, we'd have discussions about what I wanted it to look like, And, I wanted it to be elegant, but I wanted it to be a little rough at the same time. And, you know, there was going to be a tone to all the photos and things needed to flow a certain way. And I had this whole artistic vision and all these sigils to put in and all, just so many layers to the whole thing. And she was able to pull it off. Like, she just totally did. I mean, it wasn't even, like, on the fifth time. I mean, it was, like, basically the first time she sent it to me, and I went, oh, my gosh, this is exactly what I wanted. So, you know, without her, it wouldn't look as good. So I can't take all the credit for it. But so Becky Zins, if you're listening, you rock my socks. And she did such a phenomenal job in the layout. It was great.
I mean, because on top, for folks who haven't seen the book, on top of, there's layers on some of the photographs. And, you know, so you have this beautifully laid out photograph, and then there's a sigil on top of that. And then there's beautiful script on top of that with a portion of the spell. And it's just, wow. I mean, obviously, you know, because when you look at it, you think, oh, definitely a professional artist, you know, someone who is extremely creative would have had to have put this together, which you are, obviously. But, I mean, it's one of those sensory experiences that you don't get out of most books, period. So I'm thrilled that finally, as a pagan person and as a witch, I have a book that I can, you know, hold up to somebody and say, see what we're capable of? See how beautiful this is? It's not just, you know, two colors on the cover and just writing. You know, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but to be able to show that, you know, people involved in our path have the ability to publish something so beautiful, I think is a statement that we need to make as often as we can, you know, because this is far from the typical cookbook, as it were. So this is...
Yeah, you hit the right word too, because I was thinking of it as a cookbook for a long time, and that helped me formulate how to at least approach the different spells and different things like that. But when it was done, it was obviously too artsy to be a cookbook. But you know, yeah, that was definitely the vibe. So I totally appreciate that it was a long process, and when I got to hold it for the first time, I had a whole just kind of true moment of gratitude and bliss. And it was, you know, we did a lot back and forth on the cover, and we did a lot back and forth on just kind of how we wanted that to look and feel. And they did this exceptional job, and like the front cover flap folds out, both of the cover flaps fold out, and just all of this cool stuff. So it was really fun. And, you know, my partners are, when they got it, they were looking through and they're like, it's so weird to see our house. Those are our altars. Those are our, you know. So it was neat. There's a big piece of me in this book without question.
Yeah, I did not know. See, I didn't know that you had done a lot of the photography. I didn't know that it was your altar specifically. I didn't know it was the area near your house and all of that. And yeah, that does make it extremely personal. But it's just so beautiful. I don't know what else to say about it. It's really great. It's so pretty. I just want to carry it around with me and show it off. It's like, see, look what
I got. Please do. Please do. Yeah, no,
I need to pick up a copy of this.
Everybody should pick up a copy.
Yeah. Because I'm a visual learner, too. You know, like, I really enjoyed, you know, I'm very much lacking in time and funding to buy all the books I want. But I actually have The Witch's Book of Power, and I just gifted a copy to my oldest son's girlfriend, who is interested in witchcraft. And I told her, I said, this is a good place to start, you know, because it doesn't read like, you know, it's not instructional, but it's instructional, you know. It's, you have a way with
Thank
words,
you.
You know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I truly appreciate hearing that. I do. You know, cause a part of it is you go through all this stuff and then, you know, you're wondering if anybody's reading it and if anybody actually is into what you're doing, you know, because this is, I mean,
oh, yeah.
Truth be told, we're all just nerds and this is what we're nerding out about. Like, all the authors I hang out with, we all just have our own kind of fandom, you know, with what we're into. And so, you know, with Laura mm-hmm. Zakharoff, who's this phenomenal artist and like everything she touches is amazing. That's her, like her, that art is her nerd, is like what she gets into. That's what she's a nerd about. And so art is her nerd. That's such a weird thing. But you know what I mean? Like that's her thing. And then I've got, we've got, you know, Storm, who is writing these incredible works, and he's really into fairy and trance work. And that's like really what he does. And so, you know, we're all just these nerdy people who have, you know, a love for some aspect of the craft. And when we get to open up and share it with people, it's always going to be intimate, you know. I mean, like these were, I did all of the photos in the book but one, and I did not do the cover. The cover was a reshoot but it was based off of a photo I had done. But everything else is mine. So all the photos are mine, all of the art's mine. It's the stuff that I'd go into trance and I'd do my mandalas and my doodles and things like that and and that's all in there in the book. And, you know, it was weird, you know, it's just something it was a rare treat to get to do on this level. And I hope that, I get to do it again. That would be really freaking cool and awesome. But at the end of the day, you know, to get to go to the coal mines that are no longer active, but the coal mines next to my house, because I live right next to a mountain. So I got to go to the mm-hmm. coal mines and take photos of the coal mines for, you know, and do spell work and ritual work there. And that's in the book. And my backyard's in the book and my little fairy altar's there. And, you know, all of these things that are real. I mean, because that's the other aspect of it, is I didn't want it to just be a bunch of staged photos. That was a big thing for me going in. I wanted it to look like I was capturing just moments of magic. And magic is notorious for not translating well on film, you know. And so it was interesting to kind of just go through that process. And, you know, the simplest photo would take 6 hours just to get it, you know, the working and, you know, to get it all there and where I wanted it to be. And it was a really intense amount of work. And it was a very magical process for me to go through as well. So I really just with this book, I count my blessings. And, you know, the other thing, too, is I have a store. And so I am lucky in that I had access to product. I had access to crystals. I had access to herbs and things like that. So when I needed to write about them and incorporate them into the book, I could. You know, and that's also a position that I know is I'm kind of privileged to have. So there's a lot of the Mystic Dream, you know, my shop in the book as well. And it was a blessing just to tie everything together and put it into a book that was for everybody, you know, and that was my big thing. I didn't want it to have an aggressive tone. I didn't want it to have a judgmental tone. You know, mm-hmm. we all do magic for our own reasons, and I am not here to judge you on that for whatever those reasons are. I am not that guy. I've had to do some things in my life, you know, and so I'm not here to judge you. I'm mm-hmm. just here to say, hey, you can if you need to. Here's this thing, you know. And it was a blessing to be able to do. Just a blessing to be able to do.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you on the I've done some shit. Yes, I have. I'm with you on this. But the tone of the pictures is really amazing. The lighting is perfect. The warmth, sometimes the coolness, like under the Seal of Solomon with the crystals, phenomenal. Just that you can feel the energy from the picture directly. It's really fascinating. And it's obvious that you put so much thought into every single thing. That's why when you say like one picture could take 6 hours, I totally get it. Just from looking at how these were done, I don't know how you had the patience. I know it's because you were doing something you loved, but 6 hours, man. And you can see it. You can see that that everything that was done, every picture was very intentional. From what's in it to the way it's lit to the angle it was shot at to whatever sigil or other information you have layered on top of it, it's just, you feel it. You absolutely feel it, from the wood to the bottles to the candles to the cauldron. I mean, everything. Sorry, I'm fan. I am definitely fanning out right now. Can't help it. But this book is incredible. I have to say, I've recommended some books in my life to certain people. and, of course, I have some of my favorites. This is definitely one of my top two favorite books about witchcraft that I've ever had in my life.
Well, that is high praise. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I cannot praise it enough. I definitely have to say that if you want to put your hands on something and not just feel it but see it, because it is a very visual guide. I'm not saying that you have to do your spell and make it look exactly like the picture, but if you're curious as to how it might should look, this is it. I mean, it's given me great ideas on how to redo my altar, how to, you know, lay out certain items for a spell and other information for spells that I may not have had before. So, yeah, I mean, how to make a poppet. I mean, everything is in here that you could possibly want to know, which brings me to the question. You said something about there being the potential for another one. So how do you follow something like this? I mean, because this is like your Sergeant Pepper, if that makes sense. Are you a Beatles fan at all? Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Yeah, no, I absolutely. Actually a point of stress. No, totally. I remember watching this TED Talk when I first started writing with the woman, I can't remember her name, but she wrote Eat, Pray, Love. And she did this TED Talk about how people would come up to her afterwards and say, well, how are you ever going to follow this up? It was a New York Times bestseller. It got turned into a movie, you know, so on and so forth. Yeah. And how are you ever going to follow this up? And she said, she talked about how it was this incredibly like anxiety making experience to have people come up and ask that question. And so I've been asking myself this question because I saw the TED Talk, and so I'm going to torture myself. And so I sat here first of all, I made a promise that I wouldn't write a book for a year because I had been writing really intensely and my life, I mean, you know, I own a store, I have a relationship, there's all of these things that takes time from. And so my partners came to me and said, hey, you know, we know that you really love this writing stuff and it's working out for you. However, you know, your book's going to take about a year to get edited and get printed and everything. Why don't you take a year off? And then, you know, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So that was, you know, when your partners come to you and ask you for more time, you give it to them. And so that was that. And so, you know, and it was just about, and it was great because it was also a year, you know, my father had just passed away. So it was a year of kind of recouping that and going through a lot of ups and downs all year with that. And the store, you know, the store was going through. Thank you. He's obviously in a better place wherever he is. And the store needed time and energy, and I make a lot of product for the store, so I wasn't, you know, always available to make those candles and to do that, all those things. And so this taking a year off of writing gave me the ability to do that and to kind of completely reprioritize and make sure that the things that really did matter the most were being taken care of and loved and appreciated. And at the end of that year, the book was getting ready to come out, and so I started thinking about it and what do I want to do? Cause I hadn't allowed myself to think about, you know, the next book. I kept keeping myself from sitting down and writing my notes on anything. So when this happened and the book was coming out, my year was up and I was going to be free from this promise that I had made. I really started grilling myself and giving myself a hard time about what was going to be next. And, you know, because there's two things. I really want to write fiction. I, like, really, really, really want to write fiction. I've got all of these ideas in my head. And, And fiction was, you know, I never thought I'd be a writer to begin with. But when I was younger, I wrote a lot of fiction for projects and things, and I had done pretty well on them. And so I thought, well, maybe as an adult, maybe there's something there. And of course, there's all these ideas. So I've got all this stuff in my head, and but I also know that my audience and the people I've been working with for, you know, almost 6 years now, it's all about witchcraft. And I love being a witch, and I love what I do. And, you know, again, the big question of what are you going to do to add to the discussion? Because, you know, I'm going to die one day. The books will be around, and hopefully.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone's going to pick up that book, and they're going to learn something that I, you know, from me, and then they're going to write a book themselves. And those can be a little bit of what I added to the discussion in their discussion, just as much as there's a little bit of Scott Cunningham in my book and, you know, and those things. So we're in this process, I truly believe, of just we're having a discussion about what magic is and what it's capable of. And every generation gets to carry that discussion. And in the year 2020, when we've got, you know, there's witches who only even get to communicate via Instagram, right? I mean, there are more people who practice witchcraft than who identify as paganism. And we used to think of it as, oh, all witches are pagans. That's not the truth. You know, and a lot of people who come to the craft would never identify as pagan because they don't, that's just not their jam. You know, and so the world has changed, and it's very digital, and it's very visual driven. I mean, we even have emojis to replace words, you know, and it's become this universal language. So you can always get things done with a photo, and a photo speaks words that, you know, language just can't produce. And so it, for me, it was, how do I add to this discussion? How do I continue the discussion? And I felt one of the best ways to do that was to use art and to, you know, bring things into that. But I fully expect that one day, you know, I'm going to be gone, and somebody's going to do something way cooler and way more amazing. They're going to have some cool, like, holographic book that, you know, shows you the oils being poured on the candles, and like this is going to happen. It's totally going to happen one day. You know, this is just the technology and how humans use it. So, you know, for me, I'm actually surprised that there weren't more books like this out there, like after it was all said and done. And I mean, yeah, it was a ridiculous amount of work, but you know, I'm not the first one to do this either. I think in the 90s, there were a couple of books that were done that had photos and things like that. But they didn't do it the way that I've done it, so I did try to, you know, not rip anybody off. But those things were spoken for a certain, you know, phase of the conversation. And you can't even get them anymore. They're all out of print. And so if you're lucky, you can stumble onto one, but because they weren't done by a traditional witchy publisher. And so a lot of the times when you have those bigger companies that do write or do publish books on the craft or occultism, they're just there for 7 years or so, and then they get pulled from the market because their audience isn't, you know, being served. So those things are gone. So a lot of the things that would have compared to it were no longer around in the market. And it just seemed like, okay, now's the time to, I scratched something, let me see if there's something there. And, you know, so it was a good way to join in the conversation in a fantastic new way. And it was a wonderful avenue of, you know, like I said, just bringing the discussion to a new generation of people. Because, like, you know, there's all these witches who only go on Instagram. That's only how they know each other, and Facebook. And, you know, when I was coming into the craft, it was, you know, the 90s, and it was all about just meeting other pagans. Like, it didn't matter what they were doing. Everybody practiced magic to some degree, and you just wanted to be another pagan. And that's not the way it is. That is so not the way it is anymore. And you know, and as the pagan community has grown, I have those moments of like, am I a pagan? I don't know that I'm a pagan always. Like, you know, like, I mean, somebody outside would look at me and lump me into that category, but I don't know that I would identify with that moniker anymore. Whereas, you know, once upon a time, I was the vice president of communications or of public relations for the Pagan Community Council of Ohio, you know, and so I really, really loved that title or that moniker or whatever. It just doesn't necessarily always fit anymore. And as just because the pagan community has grown in its own way, and it's been beautiful, and there's no harm, no foul in that. But we all grow, you know. And when I started looking around and seeing that there were so many people who were witches and who were practicing magic or even just dabbling in magic and in the occult, that there were so much more of those people than there were the people who I had been raised with, who, you know, there's a lot of pagans want to, to John Beckett on an interview that he just did on my show called mm-hmm. Speciesation, where it's a lot of, you know, the groups are just getting clickier and they're building up their own individual groups. And whereas 10 years ago, it was more about a pan-pagan, you know, organization or thing happening where there was this umbrella and we were all going to work under that umbrella. And here we are 10 years later, and it's not like that anymore. You know, there's everyone's kind of going along their own traditions and their own specific thing. And so it felt like the right time to write a book about witchcraft in this particular way, to let those other witches who, you know, like me, maybe don't necessarily identify with the traditional kind of pagan-y kind of way of approaching witchcraft, to say, hey, you can practice witchcraft. There's ways of doing, like, there's so many ways of doing this. And American folk magic has very little to do with gods and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, so there's this jewels of magic and jewels of power there that everybody, no matter where you're from, no matter what age you are, that you can use and you can, you know, obtain for yourself. And that was the challenge with the book.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can do that. I do miss the umbrella sometimes, though. I really do. When we all didn't just really, I mean, because I think a lot of what happened led to a lot of gatekeeping. Because when people get clicky, that's just what naturally follows, you know? And it's like, oh, you're not doing what we're doing, so you have to go, like, to that group over there, and you can't hang out with those cool kids, or, you know what I mean? So sometimes I just wish it was like the old days a little. But by the same token, that's part of why I love this book, because it doesn't single anybody out in any kind of way.
I have a friend, my friend Charles, you know, because we live right next to Pantheacon, and their Pantheacon was being very political for a very long time, and it was hard to kind of deal with a lot of that stuff. And my friend Charles said, well, why don't we just share incense recipes anymore? Like, remember when we just used to get together and share incense recipes? And I was like, oh, I kind of do remember that. That was nice. Why don't we do that anymore? You know, and so that's what I kept thinking about when I was writing this book was, let's just get back to sharing magic. Like, let's just get back to, you know, because everyone's got their own personal shit. Like, you should not be judging anybody. You should not be accepting anybody's judgment. You are your own god. You get to accept or reject the offerings that are being made at your temple. You know, like, that is nobody's damn business. That is between you and your spirits.
That needs to be its own poster. Take a picture and throw those words on top of it, and I'm telling you, you'll sell millions of them.
I'm sure it's in a book. I'm sure I put it in a book at some point. But it's absolutely true. You do not need to live in a world where you're living by everyone else's rules. There are rules that we've all agreed to, like, follow those, that's fine. But then the rest of it is all up to you, you know? And magic is this phenomenal tool to navigate life, to bring order to chaos, to bring chaos to order when it's needed. Mm-hmm. You know, it can do a lot for us. And I just want to get back to talking about it. Because here's the thing. When we go to a political place with every single conversation, and we go to a place where it's and those conversations should absolutely be had. And if you're not being heard and you're in a group and you're being made a minority again, and like, absolutely, let's have this conversation. But when that becomes the dominant thing for years and years and years, then the study and the progress and the development of magic stops, because the people are consumed by having these discussions. And, you know, again, there's a time and a place for it. So we had that time, we had that place. We now know that we need to continue having those discussions, that, you know, and how to handle those, I hope, how to handle those discussions in an appropriate manner, because everybody is welcome in the world of witchcraft. I don't give a fuck who you are. But that being said, let's talk about incense recipes, you know, like let's go back to developing magic again, you know, because we now live in a world where you have a cell phone that has crystals in it. Did you know that? There's a crystal inside of your cell phone. You can enchant that crystal.
Holy shit.
We should have been doing this 20 years ago. Yeah. So you have silica chip. Silica is a crystal. And if you have an iPhone, a lot of those have like a special quartz thumbprint thing. Like there's all of this new stuff that's happening. And instead of developing magic around it and really keeping magic a living thing, we're arguing over the way ancestors should have treated each other, or whether somebody should be invited into a circle or not. It's just dumb. It's just bullshit. Like, facts are facts. People are people. You know, we are not pies. You can't just have a piece of us and throw the rest of us out. That's not how this works. And so I think at the end of the day, we used to have a common maturity just because we were so new. And the community, the pagan world, the witchcraft world, there was a lot of respect. There was a lot of just curiosity, people willing to sit down and talk to you about the strange, obscure, ancient god that they hadn't heard of that you worship. Like, people just, it was so much, it was just friendlier. It was friendlier. It was more, you know, collaborative. And I miss that. I really, truly do. And I don't, you know, I may not be the same witch who identified as a pagan and whatnot as I was 20 years ago, but I'm still somebody who very much so loves the magical world and very much so loves the pagan world. I just don't necessarily love what it had become, what it's become. And so this is my one man little attempt to just kind of say, hey, I don't want to talk about that stuff anymore. If you're hurting, let's talk. Like, please, let's talk about your hurt and let's figure a way to make it better, because you deserve that. You're a human being. But otherwise, I'm not interested in these witch wars. I'm not interested in, you know, what so-and-so said to somebody else. I don't, if your entire career and social platform is built on bullying other people and being an asshole, I don't need you around. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like, I don't even need to know you, because you have no control over me or my life, or, you know, what was the saying? If I'm not eating, or if you're not paying my bills or screwing me, you have absolutely no right to have an opinion on my life. And that's where it really got down. You know, we invested a lot in what each other thought. We invested a lot in wanting to be approved by each other and appreciated by each other. And I think we were looking for the wrong thing. And so, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm always here to have those discussions. And if somebody's hurting, we need to talk about that as a community and a culture. However, I'm, after, you know, almost a decade of it, I'm really looking forward to getting back to talking about spells and witchcraft and the magic that we all came here for, because we're all here to do that. We're all here to level the playing field, right? Like, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So let's do that. And let's do that with each other, and let's talk about it so that the next generation who gets this conversation doesn't have to deal with, is this person really a woman, or is this really a spell, or, you know, dumb stuff that's just like, well, of course, right? Like, is it a spell to you? Then it's a spell. Does this person say they are a person? Then they're a person. Like, it's okay. You don't need to have an opinion on it. You know, like, come on. So it's just this little stuff of, nobody cares about your politics at the end of the day. Like, we all know what we feel about whatever. So let's move on, right? Because it's, at one point, we at least could be in a room together. You know, so this is my little attempt at trying to bring the conversation back to incense recipes and oil recipes and hoping,
magic.
You know.
The actual important things that actually count as a witch, or as somebody who practices an alternate path, or somebody who, you know, likes incense. Like you said, let's talk about incense recipes. Let's talk about what you use to make this witch's ladder as opposed to that witch's ladder. What color do you use for this or that? I mean, just basic shit. That's why I said before, I miss the umbrella when we were all just hanging out, you know, and nobody really cared if you were practicing exactly the same thing in the exact same way I am. You were allowed to be so much more free, and I miss the freedom of people just saying, cool, we're of like mind, but it doesn't have to be exactly the same mind, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and there's a tradition of occultists, you know, especially before modern, what we consider being like modern occultism and modern Wicca and paganism, there was a tradition of occultists who would, you know, get a book from the East and they'd practice their stuff, and they'd get together and they'd talk about it like a book club, basically, you know, or they'd practice the stuff together, and one would try it, and this is all just, you know, hypothetical here, but one would try it in purple spandex and the other one would try it in green spandex, and they would talk about, okay, well, what's the difference between the purple and the green spandex? And what did the spirit respond to better? Like, it was so much more about collaborating and trying to figure out what the mysteries were. And then once you found out what they were, you'd share them with people. And you know, people who were interested and people who were showing up to do that work. And that's where I think a really modern occultism is really rooted in that practice of, you know, everyone going out and trying something else and bringing it together and having those discussions, and traditions are wonderful. And I, you know, I belong to a couple traditions. There's nothing wrong with traditions. But we're talking about, you know, magic for everybody, not magic for, you know, I my tradition focus on very specific things, and I work with very specific deities and spirits in those traditions, and that's a me thing. That is not a you thing. That's a Devin thing. You can go join traditions,
yeah.
That's fine, but that's going to be a you thing, you know? So when it comes to the basic, practical, how do you survive through the month kind of magic, that stuff needs to be talked about, and that stuff needs to be out there so that we can all survive, because the world is stacked against us, you know? I don't need to be all, like, doom and gloom about it, but it's true. You know, especially if you are in the middle class or lower, right? The world is not easy to navigate through. And there's a lot of things that are there to keep you from raising yourself up out of those problems. And so, you know, in this book, I it was an absolute intention of mine to address those things and to try to talk about those things. You know, in the protection section, there's, you know, stuff on how to be protected from sexual assault. You know, I mean, there's stuff in there that, like, this is us. This is our lives. This is what we got to do to survive sometimes, you know. And magic is here to level the playing field. So let's level the playing field. Let's quit slamming doors in each other's faces. Let's quit telling each other that we're not people and we're not real. And let's start developing magic that helps keep all of us alive. Let's start doing that.
Right. Very true.
Yes.
So we are down to 4 minutes. And before any more time slips out, let's hear where you're going to be and where people can find you. Are you doing festivals this year? What's your schedule?
Yeah, so I'm really lucky. I'm not traveling a terrible amount this year because traveling is hard, especially when you're traveling from the West Coast. It's difficult sometimes. But so I am doing – there's a lovely, amazing event in Oregon called Sunfest. And so, and it's about an hour, I think, outside of Portland. And it's amazing. It's run by a pagan organization who has, like, owned the land for, I think, something like 30 years. And it's on a mountain in the woods. It's beautiful. The people are the nicest people I've ever met in my life. And so I got to go out and be a keynote for them 2 years ago. And then when I was invited to come back for this year, I, as a ritualist, I was like, absolutely. So I'll be there with Storm, and we're going to do, we're doing some really cool ritual work actually for Dionysus, the Lord of Witches. And so that'll be really neat. And we're still setting up some events around the Portland area as well. So if you find me on Facebook or you just go to modernwitch.com, all that stuff will be up there as it's announced. And then other than that, I actually pretty much took my travel this year to a place that's really just for the store. So trying to find new vendors, you know, the world was changing. We now have all these tariffs and, you know, all this stuff. So supplies are weird to get and hard to find. And so, you know, this year, most of the traveling I'm doing is for the shop, but I will be at in Denver in June. INATS, which is the International New Age Trade Show. And so I'll be showing the book there, and I believe I'm up for a cover award, which will be neat if that happens. And but otherwise, I'm trying to bear down. You know, last year there was a lot of travel for work and a lot of festivals and things like that, and this year I'm not doing so much of that. I want to, you know, if it focus on my shop and all that good stuff. So I will be really just on the West Coast mostly this year, and it's the first time in 10 years that I've done that. So I'm really looking forward to just enriching my connection to my West Coast friends. But yeah, so pretty much just out here and then in Denver a little bit. But 2021 is looking like it's going to get pretty busy. But hopefully I'll be on your show before then. And I can tell
Yay,
you all about
you
that.
Will be. Yay! Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
But otherwise,
and
if people
want to
find me. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, otherwise, if you want to find me, just go to modernwitch.com. That's us, and that's my weird amorphous kind of ongoing project, and that's got the podcast and the vidcast and all of the other projects. Everything's on there. So if you want to find me, you can go there. And I'm on all of the social media at Mr. Devin Hunter. And so you can find me, and I'm around.
Awesome. Well, we would love to find you. Come pinch your cheek.
Yeah. come do it. Come do it. I got dimples and everything. They're all yours.
Awesome.
You can have it. You can have the dimples.
All right. Everybody, Yay. Once again, the book is Modern Witch, The author is the incredible Devin Hunter, who I have been insanely, secretly in love with for years. Shh, don't tell him. Anyway, you know where to find him, and please pick up this book. You will not be disappointed. Devin, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this with us.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for having
absolutely.
Me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, we thank you again, and we will have you back on very, very soon. And have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too.
Thank
you so much for having me. You too.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right. So let's wrap it.
All right. So we are out for the weekend, but Sis and Taliesin will be back next Friday with the monthly political show. Should be interesting.
Yes. It should. Super Tuesday is this Tuesday. So if you're in the state that gets to do your primary, get out there and do it, folks.
Please, go vote. Go vote. And right now in South Carolina, they have unexpectedly started closing polling booths early. Go find a polling booth that's open. You know, just drive. It's super important this year. Please, please,
really
please go vote. We love you guys,
okay.
And we'll see you all next week. Bye.
Bye.